Welcome to Business Beat. Here each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing Mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. Drought conditions in much of the country have eased, but the Great Plains region is still in rough shape. Last year's dryness pushed the nation's cattle herd to its lowest numbers since the 1950s. Dry conditions this summer could cause the herd to dwindle even further. As Harvard's Public Media's Luke Runyon reports from Colorado, that means beef prices are on the rise this summer, just in time for grilling season.
At Edwards Meats in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, near Denver, grinders churn out a steady stream of ground beef. Workers divvy up the bright red meat into trays and slide one into a glass display case. A laminated price tag is the final touch. Recently, the number on that slip of paper has been getting higher.
In the last 3 weeks, it's really jumped. Most of our prices have gone up at least $1 a pound or more.
Owner Darren Edwards says you always see a price increase when people start firing up their backyard grills. But this year is different. Prices for certain cuts of beef have jumped to historic highs, giving sticker shock to some of his loyal customers.
We have that happen sometimes. You throw a couple big, thick T-bone steaks up on the scale and it's $30-$40. They're like, yeah, I can't afford those.
Edwards says it's the same story for New York strips, tenderloins, and ribeyes. About 90 miles east in the small ranching community of Last Chance, rancher Gerald Schreiber pulls handfuls of weeds from dusty soil.
I'm not very optimistic right in this spot.
Last summer, a combination of drought, wildfire, and wind transformed Schreiber's pastures into a blanket of invasive, noxious weeds. The fields haven't recovered.
There's a lot of dead plants right in this area, and that's what we find.
Here's the reason for the price increase. There just isn't enough feed. Because of the drought, there's a smaller supply of hay and dense grasses. Ranchers are having a tough time finding feed, and when they do, it's more expensive. During the winter, Schreiber paid more than double what he usually does for hay. Recent research shows more than half of the country's beef cattle are in states where the pasture can't support large herds.
This is pretty unpredictable country. You got to get the rose-colored glasses off, like we're doing here.
A rancher has to make a decision.
That's Elaine Johnson, a market analyst with CattleHedging.com.
Do I buy expensive hay and try to hang on for another year, or do I just liquidate my cows? Tighter and tighter supplies means higher and higher prices.
And higher prices mean more people could choose to forego burgers and steaks this summer. Sales of beef have been down so far this year, while less expensive options like pork are up. Johnson says expect to pay more for beef until ranchers can build up their herds.
When you have a drought like this and have liquidated numbers significantly, it typically means that supplies will going to be reduced for 2, 3 to 4 years. And it's one of the reasons why we've seen such a big increase in beef prices.
Back at Edwards Meats, owner Darren Edwards says even with the higher prices, he's absorbing some of the cost. That's not something he can keep up for long.
Hopefully it does come back down. If it doesn't come back down in the next couple weeks, we'll have to adjust our prices accordingly.
Right, sure. So, I mean, eventually you see that in your bottom line.
For sure. We just kind of bite the bullet for a little bit.
He'll be waiting a while. Most economists say prices will stay high the rest of the year. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.
It's been a wet spring here in the Midwest, and that's got corn growers a little behind on planting. The U.S. Department of Agriculture reports that 91% of the U.S. corn crop was planted as of June 2nd, compared to 95% at the same time last year. Iowa, the nation's largest producer of corn, has only 88% of the crop in ground. In Missouri, 86%. Last year, growers in both states were done with planting by now. But besides the late planting, the abundance of water presents other challenges for farmers. Payne Roberts has this report for Harvest Public Media.
Lanny Franks is a corn and soybean farmer in Rushville, Missouri. The excessive rainfall this year has not only delayed his planting 2 to 3 weeks, but also left some of his fields covered in standing water.
And it probably will drown out some of the corn that was planted.
With the delay, crop insurance also comes into play, according to Bruce Rower, president of the Iowa Corn Growers Association.
Just by the fact that we are into the first week of June, it is an exceptionally late time to be attempting to plant corn. And it could be that it's best for people to take the preventive planting that crop insurance provides.
Rower says the only certainty is that there will be fewer planted acres in the Corn Belt than the record that was forecast by the USDA in March. Payne Roberts, Harvest Public Media.
Last Thursday, the Columbia Planning and Zoning Commission approved the recommendation to build a six-story apartment building on Conley Avenue near the MU campus. A major hurdle the development company faced was the issue of parking. The commission's recommendation approval included a variance allowing developers to provide only a portion of the normal required parking. Brant Stiles, director of development at Collegiate Housing Partners, says they're making an effort to work with the city officials and are working to implement innovative measures to prevent parking problems.
We're trying to educate the students that they don't need cars, but not just trying to convince them. We feel that we need to provide real alternatives to make that actually feasible.
Stiles says current strategies in place include working with the car rental company Enterprise to establish a share car program, providing transit passes for the city's FastCat bus system, and offering additional bike storage. Developers are also working to form an on-site bike share program partnership with the university or city. But if a partnership can't be reached, the developers say they are still committed. Columbia's development services manager, Pat Zenner, says he believes Collegiate Housing Partners' measures are a pioneering technique.
Really what makes this project unique is the number of alternatives that have been looked at in order to try to persuade the future tenants to not need a vehicle, to justify why the parking variance was appropriate to be granted.
The Columbia Planning and Zoning Commission approved the recommendation with a 7-2 vote. A final vote of approval on the proposed complex is set for the next Columbia City Council meeting, June 17th. That's all for Business Beat this week. Don't forget, you can find these stories and other Business Beat stories on KBIA.org. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.